Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Time report. It is Abe Gordon here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a 1-1 draw. Atlanta and Nashville are going to split the points today. We're going to welcome in Jared Smith of Soccer Down here in just a moment. But before we do that, Madison Cruz was on the field after the game and spoke with the Atlanta United manager, Ronnie Dyla.
Coach, what was your overall thoughts on today's performance?
I think the first half an hour was really, really good. We played over them, we were around them, we scored a nice goal. They didn't have anything. And this last 15 minutes, we had to defend a little bit more than we wanted. In second half, a little bit the same also. We played too slow. We don't move our feet quick enough. And then against a good team, we get trouble. So in the end, I think 1-1 is a result. We didn't deserve more than that. So, but we stayed together in the end, and we're fighting. And we had some opportunity in the end there that we could won it. But we have to take the first 30 because then we're playing how we want, and I like what I saw there.
I want to ask about Jay. He started on the left wing and then he moved back to the midfield. I mean, what does he bring to this team and his versatility on all those positions?
Well, he's overall a good football player, and he's good technically, and he's running. He has legs, and that's why we put him into the middle after a while, because he's young, he has a lot of energy, and he could finish 90 minutes, and that was good. So he did a good game today.
What do you want to see improved upon going into next week?
The same. We just have to work fast enough from the first half an hour, try to get that longer, because that's the only way forward. And then we were like we know we can be, but we get too deep, and we are not connected enough in the second half, and play too slow. We lose too many balls, and then of course they get over us, and we need to defend instead of attack.
Thank you, Coach.
It's Abe Gordon back in the booth here, the full-time report. Just getting started, 1-1 draw for Atlanta United. Appreciate Maddie being on the field. She's got some extra duties here. We're going to take in the unified match as we bring you the full-time report. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on there as well. But we'll hear more from manager Ronnie Dyla shortly as he takes to the post-game podium in a couple of minutes. But I want to welcome in Jarrett Smith, who's going to be hanging with me for the entirety of the full-time report. And it was just one of these things here, Jarrett, where 20 minutes in, you're looking good, you're dominating play, front foot, all of that. You get the goal. For whatever reason, it was Nashville's game from there. No shots on goal in the second half for Atlanta United. We'll talk about all of the stats in here in just a moment. But something flipped after that goal. It's unfortunate because you were playing so well. It went away. And at the end of this, you're saying, man, you're kind of lucky just to have held on for a 1-1 draw.
You were, man. It's about response. We talk about the way this team has responded to things. We've talked about it the last few games. You go back to the Philadelphia game where you give up the second goal and guys are hanging their heads. And you only had your two homegrowns trying to light a fire under people. Well, when Nashville gives up a goal where Atlanta was really good, first 20 minutes, really liked what we saw. But you get that goal. Nashville's response was to go try and punch you in the face. And it kind of felt like your response was to let off the throttle a bit, and you kind of let them. But that's the response you want to see from your team, in that, oh, we gave up a goal? Well, let's go get one. Let's go find one. Let's go bring the fight to the game. And I thought Nashville did that, and they kept the pedal down. And you're right. It felt like at times you feel good about getting out of there with a 1-1 draw, which isn't what you want to feel at home.
No, and it's nice to hear. And I'll tell you one thing I really do appreciate about Ronnie Dyla is he is open and honest. And he'll tell you, hey, we were lucky to get a draw. We deserved a draw. And he said that with Maddie. And it is. That's where it was. And I look at the stats here, and this statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. I look at the stats, and I had to do a double take. I hit Control-R. I'm on a Mac, so it would have been F5 if it's PC. But for me, it's Command-R. I had to refresh the page to make sure that the stats were updated with the final time, because it just is shocking numbers. Possession, 59% for Nashville to 41% for Atlanta United. Shots, 12-6. Nashville doubled you up. Shots on goal, 5 for Nashville, 2 for Atlanta United, although we're starting to learn that the shot on goal numbers are a little bit wonky. That's okay. And then the XG for Nashville, 2.2. 1 for Atlanta. Atlanta United has an XG of 1. They scored 1. Nashville, and this tells you how strong a performance Brad Guzan had in the second half, 2.2 XG. If you had told me it was closer to 3, I would have believed you. He was outstanding. Absolutely could have been a Nashville win if it weren't for Brad Guzan today.
Brad Guzan was outstanding.
Yeah.
In the second half, you know, he's making himself big, closing things down, and trying to be a leader at the back. You go to I think it's the 90th minute, 91st minute. There's a turnover. May or may not have been a foul, but it was a loose whistle. It was a loose whistle game anyway. So you have to stay locked in, because both teams were being physical in the midfield. But Nashville gets a counter. Brad stops it, and he's not just mad at the not call of a foul. He's trying to get his guys up the field.
Yeah.
And guys are walking. But it's tied. You're in stoppage time. You've got fresh legs on the field. He's trying to will guys up the field, and they're not going.
Let's go ahead and head down to the post-game. Podium manager Ronnie Dyla has just fielded the first question.
Balloon was a little bit empty after the goal, and then we get more defensive-minded, and we lose the ball way too much. And that is the main thing. It's for me difficult to sit there and say, but if you lose the ball after two passes every time we get the ball, then we started to play sideways, backwards, slower than we did, and we didn't come out of it. So that is that's something we just have to keep on working with. But I believe then that we have to look at what we do when we are good, and try to get this period longer, because then we are a good football team. But what we did, we fight to the end. We had a couple of half opportunities in the end of it. I think also when Edwin come on, he offensively attacked space. Jamal won some couple of good headers, but in the end we didn't assert to win, because they had their chances in the second half. They didn't have anything in the first, but in the second was 2-3 big chances and big saves by Brad.
No. Coach, you've been saying for the last month that remaining positive is how are you going to get out of this? You picked up a point today. So is that something you're going to go back into talking about? Like, hey, guys, we got something.
Yes, it could be worse. It's actually just the truth. But again, we are guys that compete, and we like at home to win and to play well. And I think, again, we have to accept the level we are in right now, and then work from there, because it's too much up and down inside the game. And that has been the whole season almost. It's not only this game. I can't see one game that we have been really switched on from first to the 90 minutes. So that's something we have to learn from each other, that like how we manage the team best to get more stable, long periods with good play. And at the same time, acknowledge that our best level is good. And that's where we just have to have more often and longer.
Ronnie, you mentioned the team has been passive. What do you think this is happening? Is it, you think it's something physical or something mental, like motivation-wise? Because you see it up from the field.
It's nothing about motivation, because then we were starting really poor, and we will see people that don't do the job. And it's more about that we look like the get a little bit empty of energy in the, after a while. If that is physical or it's mental, it's very difficult to say. We try to do something about both things, but we lose the aggression and we get passive, and then we get very low in 4-4-2 in against a team that is positional and used to play. And like to play in that way, but we kept them away in the first half, especially of creating anything almost. But we want to be them, like they were in the second half. We want to be them, and that's where we have to aim for to get. But they won 7-2 last week. They are a good team also. We have to say that at the same time, and we take something from them. But we are, as a club and as a team, we are not happy with only 1 point. We want to beat anybody that's in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, look, I some of that stuff I agree with. I mean, it is a step forward. It's not the step forward you hope to take, but you did make some adjustments as well. We're going to break it all down, but before we do this, as we do in the first segment, most every time, unless I forget, we do need to declare a man of the match, Jarrett Smith of Soccer Down Here, in a 1-1 draw today at home against Nashville. Who do you believe was man of the match?
I think you could have come down to two, maybe three guys. For me personally, it was Jay Fortune. You're homegrown. You put him out there on the left in an attacking setup. He's going to be more of a left wing than pinched in. And then defensively, he's dropping more into a flat midfield at times, into a diamond when they needed to. He was where he needed to be. Then he drops back into the defensive midfield, made a couple really good plays late in the game, had one clearance, two interceptions, three tackles, was 7 of 5 on his ground duels, won his only aerial duel, was fouled as well. He's going to want a couple of those chances back that are kind of low-percentage attacking chances, but look, in a situation like this for this team where they are struggling to put things together for 90 minutes, you need guys to just do their job, whatever the job is asked. And Jay Fortune got asked to do multiple jobs, and he did it. For me, that's why I'm giving it to him.
That is Jay Fortune's second man of the match this season. He jumps to a tie with Saba for most so far this year. And then, obviously, a number of different players have won it one time right now. We're actually going to hear from Jay Fortune on the other side. We'll also continue to break down what we saw today, a 1-1 draw. We'll also hear the highlights, the goals that were scored, both for Atlanta United and from Daniel Lovitz of Nashville SC. That's all coming your way as we continue. It is Jarrett Smith and Abe Gordon on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back in a 1-1 draw for Atlanta United against Nashville SC here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're just 8 seconds away, 7 seconds away from the unified squads taking each other on here. And so look forward to watching that game. But we're going to bring you more Atlanta United analysis. We're going to hear from your man of the match, Jarrett Smith, Jay Fortune, in just a moment. But before we do that, we'll hear how we ended up at a 1-1 draw. These highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And it was a really strong first 20 minutes, and that's what's going to be frustrating about the majority of our full-time report here tonight. It was a really good start to the game for Atlanta United, and eventually it culminated with Miggy putting one home.
With Saba overlapping, he goes to him on the near touchline. Saba now dribbles centrally and passes to Almiron. Drop back to Baranchuk. Fired ahead to Amador now, left corner of the 18. Pedro with a cross to the back post. Punched by Willis. Out to Lennon, who traps and shoots. Score! Deflected into the net by Miguel Almiron. If it stands, and Nashville's got an offside plea going here. If it stands, Atlanta United's got the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, it was not offsides, to be quite honest. It was not even close to offsides. No. And Miggy didn't have much to do. The majority of the work on this goal was done by one Brooks Lennon. Joe Willis, the Nashville keeper, punches it out wide. Brooks Lennon gathers, takes a touch, finds some time, and spots out Miggy, puts it past a diving Willis and a sliding defender. Miggy had an open net at that point, touched it home. And Atlanta United takes a 1-0 lead. Outstanding play from Brooks Lennon on that goal. We head to halftime with a 1-0 lead for Atlanta United. And about 20 minutes into the second half, Daniel Lovitz, off of a reshuffled Henry Mukhtar, made it 1-1.
Mukhtar to send this out of the near corner. Goal to our right. Nashville hunting and pecking for an equalizer in the 66th minute. Here it comes from Mukhtar to the penalty spot. Volley score. Daniel Lovitz. And it is the same script again. Atlanta United scoring and then losing all momentum and now conceding. Will they walk around like zombies or are they going to fight back? It's 1-1 in the 66th minute.
Well, look, if we're going to be honest in regards to that call, they were walking around like zombies before that goal, and they pretty much walked around like zombies after that goal. But they were able to secure a 1-1 draw. And, again, a real tip of the cap here, Jarrett, to Brad Guzan. I counted three could-have-been goals. And I'm not talking about no XG nonsense.
No,
I'm talking about real chances,
net.
One-on-one. And sometimes he'll make that save and sometimes he won't. That's how close to this game being 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 it really might have been. But it is a 1-1 draw, a little bit of positivity in regards to Atlanta United. They do end the goalless streak there in the 20th minute. That's nice to see. And they are able to pick up 1 point at home, although certainly you were wishing for the full three. In just a moment, we're going to hear more from Jarrett Smith, but I want to hear what man of the match Jay Fortune had to say. He caught up with Mike Conney, voice of Atlanta United, shortly after the game ended.
Jay, I'm tired just looking at you because you put in a tremendous amount of work today. What was your reaction when you found out you would be starting on left wing?
done it a few times or in the past. And for me, growing up, my dad focused on getting me a proper education in football, being able to play multiple positions. And I know I can do it. The staff is aware that I can do it. It's done it in the past. So just trying to play football the way I know how to do it. And no matter the position, a few things are the same, a few things are different, but just trying to enjoy it while I'm out there.
You worked tremendously hard, and I thought you did an excellent job on Hani Mukhtar today. Can you give me an evaluation of your play defensively?
Big focus for me the last few weeks was the defensive side of the game. Mm-hmm. I know going forward, I'm able to help the team on the ball, progress the ball, whether it's passing, dribbling, whatever the case is. But, you know, wanted to put in a little bit more focus defensively, and I think going forward this season, if I'm able to put the two together, then I'm able to help the team tremendously. So for me, just trying to build on days like today and just keep trying to push forward.
From the perspective of the overall match, not just your play, what was the biggest difference between the first half and the second half as you saw it?
First half, I think, especially the first 35, 40 minutes, we were a little bit more aggressive. I think after we got the goal, part of us kind of protect the lead a little bit, which I think obviously you want to do, but at the same time, you don't want to bring pressure onto yourself because, you know, it gives the team opportunities to score. So I think trying to find ways to keep that constant pressure on other teams for longer periods is key. And, you know, we know there's going to be periods when we're defending and we're not going to have the ball, but trying to limit those and keep the ball as much as possible.
Is the team pleased with the result? It's a point against a good team. That's the glass half full. Are you pleased with the result?
You know, you always want to find the positives and stuff. I think we would have liked to win. Everybody in this locker room wants to win games. But I think with how the last few weeks has been, you have to take the positive side of it, which is there is a point and build on it against a good team and try and carry it to next week to try and get three and keep pushing forward.
Jay, appreciate you talking. We'll see you in Chicago.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks. Take care, man.
And, you know, talk about a couple of different things. We're going to hear from Brooks Lennon on the other side as well. But let's say if Atlanta United remains in this a little bit of modified formation, kind of first time we've seen that from the start of the season, from the start of the game, pardon me. Did you see enough? I know he's man of the match, Bo, but you saw enough from Jay Fortune to believe that he could be that mainstay on the left side if Saba stays on the right?
If you need him to be, and that's the thing I think that makes him so valuable, is he's whoever you need him to be. And he's going out there and busting his tail, and he's logging the miles. He's getting stuck in. He's trying to create space and trying to be where he needs to be, opening things up for guys like Pedro Amador to get free on the left-hand side that creates that first goal. It's you're switching play. Then Maraxi Maranchuk gets the ball over to Pedro Amador, who's able to hit that cross and then eventually falls to Brooks Lennon, who picks his head up, puts it into the back of the net. But you need him to be able to just keep being that guy. But the flexibility, that we talked about this at halftime when we were talking about Mateusz Klich on that yellow card, having to chase Hani Mukhtar around, how would you change this? And one of the things I mentioned to you is, I'll bring on Edwin if I need to, but I'll drop Jay into the midfield.
Yeah.
Because I know he can work. I know he can do that work. And I know he can be physical and do the running that is needed.
And we also knew that Mateusz Klich would have eventually picked up a second yellow if he stayed
absolutely
in the game.
That was coming, brother.
That's part of the decision as well. In a couple of moments, we're going to hear from Brooks Lennon, but I also want to dive deeper into the formation and what we saw today, if it got what you wanted it to do and if it's here to stay. That's Jarrett Smith. It's Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues in 5 minutes, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The full-time report coming to you live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I am Abe Gordon. He is Jarrett Smith of Soccer Down Here. And Jarrett, we're going to hear from Brooks Lennon in just a moment, but I want to continue that quick discussion we had about the formation. And Atlanta United kind of modified things a little bit. Maranchuk a little deeper, Miggy into the central zone, Saba on the right, Jay Fortune out left, and then obviously Latte Loth up top. Do you think they run it back against Chicago? Did you see enough positives today in those 30 minutes or whatever you want to draw out of those other 60 minutes to believe that they're going to try this again?
I'd like to see what it looks like, because I would like to see what it looks like if you can just keep it going for more than 25 minutes. Because what we saw in those first 20, 25 minutes up to the goal, it was impressive. You know, Miguel Amarone's operating as a second forward. you know, he's dropping back at times and then making that run over the top. You had a couple dangerous balls that way. You did a good job of switching play. You did a good job of getting bodies in the box and creating space, creating overloads, switching play, doing all the things that felt like they were missing. And then it felt like you ceded control, Nashville takes control, and then you never really got it back. So, yeah, if you want to run it back, I'm fine with that. I like Miguel Almiron playing as, like, a second striker.
Yeah.
If not, like, maybe not, like, an out-and-out 10, because I think, like, Alexei Medonchuk sitting deeper and being able to kind of pick out that unlocking ball, and at times it's not the assist, it's, you know, the hockey assist or the ball before the hockey assist, however you want to phrase it. But if it means you can put goals in the back of the net, then great. But you've also got to be able to control the game playing that way. And, man, you can't seed, I think, in 73% of possession after the 30th minute. You can't seed that, especially at home, but to any team, because you're not built to bunker like that. You're not built to sit there and not touch the ball.
And I know you put this out there, but after the 30th minute, Nashville outshoots Atlanta 9-1. And it's just one of those things, if you only play a third of the game at your capabilities, more often than not, that result is not going to go your way. One of the highlights, though, for Atlanta United was they do end their scoreless streak. Again, yep. Trying to look on the positive things. And one of the main reasons that you did put one in the net, certainly Miggy with the final touch, but a lot of the work done there by Brooks Lennon, and Mike Conley was able to catch up with Brooks Lennon a couple of moments ago.
Brooks, a lot of great attacking players have played for this club. Your 40th assist today, which now puts you all-time number one on the club list in assists. What does that mean to you when you consider all of the great attacking players that have been here?
Yeah, it's a very proud moment for me to be the all-time assist leader here at the club. And, you know, like you said, there's been some very quality players that have played here. I'm just happy to be the first on that list. So, yeah, it feels great. Obviously, I would like, you know, the result tonight to be 3 points. But, yeah, we just have to keep working hard. And as many assists I can provide for this team, you know, to help us win, I'll do.
Take me through the assist. I thought, oh, he's going to shoot. The way it was all kind of opening up. How did you see Miguel at that moment?
Honestly, it was a shot, to be fair. Okay. It was a shot from me. You know, the ball kind of popped out from a defensive clearance, and it was a shot. And luckily, you know, Miguel was there to tap it in.
No one needs to know other than you.
Exactly.
More broadly about the game, what was the difference between the first half and the second half?
Yeah, I just said to media there, I think once we score goals, you know, we tend to, you know, let the opponent have a little bit more possession, you know, kind of allowing them to come into our half a little bit more. So I think that's one thing that we need to improve on as a team is once we score a goal to continue to push for the second goal, you know, and keep the foot on the pedal instead of maybe, you know, taking the foot off the gas a little bit. So I think that's one thing we need to improve on, and hopefully we can.
I know you're always going for 3 points. You mentioned that yourself. It is a point against a good team. Are you guys at least satisfied that, hey, at least the losing streak is over?
Definitely, yeah. Obviously, you know, you never, you know, want a losing streak to even start in the beginning. But, you know, look, they put 7 goals on Chicago last weekend, and they're a good team. So, you know, you got to take your hat off to them for fighting back and coming back into the game. You know, it's a little mistake from us from a set piece, which we can clean up. You know, they didn't score on us from open play tonight. So that's a positive to take out of the game. But, yeah, I think if we just continue to build off these performances and continue to train hard and listen to Ronnie's ideas, you know, we're going to get back to winning ways.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you, Brooks.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For one, I am just completely devastated. I'm devastated, and I love Brooks Lennon. That one's going to my grave if it were me. That was absolutely a pass.
It was a picture. If it
and look,
you say it's a pass because it's picture perfect.
Well, you say it's a pass for two reasons. One, because it's picture perfect as a pass. Two, because it's a terrible shot.
Yes.
It's nowhere close to the goal. But it's all fun. It doesn't matter. The goal was scored in that moment. That was definitely a pass, though, if I'm the one hitting it. There's no doubt about that. As we continue here on the full-time report, it's one of these things where You have noticed now from Brooks, from Jay, and we heard it from Ronnie Dyla as well. They are taking this as somewhat of a positive. I don't think they're fully happy. I don't want to misconstrue or mislead the mindset or the feeling in the locker room there. But I also don't think that they want to take this as a full negative either. They've been through some really tough weeks the past month. And I think they were desperate to find some positives. They found some. It's not the entirety of it. I just don't want to overreact to them seemingly saying, hey, we picked up a point that's good enough. I know they don't feel that way, and it might come out that way a little bit. But I also think at some point you have to reward yourselves for a little bit of the result. And I think that's what we're hearing from guys like Jay Brooks and Ronnie Dyla as well.
No, I think so too, and I think this is you got to get a foothold somewhere. Like
yeah.
you have been on a bare rock face for so long, sliding down, and even if it's a draw where you're at home, if Brad Guzan does not have a, he would have been my other option for man of the match, but the saves he made in the second half, if he doesn't have that performance, yeah, you might not get a draw here, but. The fact that you were able to get that, it's something of a foothold. But now you have to build on it.
Yeah.
Now you have to build on the road because you've played 7 home matches now, man. And 5 of them, you drop points. So now you better go get some road points, and you're going to go do it against a Chicago team that shipped 7 goals last weekend. We'll see what they do tonight – or this weekend, excuse me. But you got to go – you need something of a foothold. It doesn't it this isn't a black and white thing. It doesn't have to be all good or all bad. It can be a – that just at least, that's a tourniquet. The bleeding has stopped a little bit. But then you build on it next week and you make it better. So you take what you did and instead of 25 minutes, do it for 90 minutes ideally. At least give me 65 minutes. How about that?
Sure. Anything that can bring home 3 points. And yeah, look, it's not as good as it can be, but ultimately it's not as bad as it could be either. And so I think at this point in the season you'll take it. And obviously there will be other stretches of the season where you might be disappointed by a home draw.
Yeah.
But that's not where you're at right now. So for the moment – you'll kind of take it as it is. He is Jarrett Smith, Soccer Down here. I am Abe Gordon. We're going to continue the full-time report in 5 minutes here. We're going to keep an eye on this unified game in the break and get you a score update there as well. This is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The aftermath of a 1-1 draw for Atlanta United. It's not the 3 points we had all hoped for, but it's not nothing, as they say. Atlanta United, would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently still at $2,000. They're going to find another clean sheet. We're hoping at this point that it's next week. And here's what's so frustrating, Jarrett, and we could do the breakdown of when things turned for Atlanta United. Maybe it was after the goal. Maybe it was somewhere in that 29th, 30, 31st minute. But you had everything going for you. You were completely on the front foot. And you come out of this game, right, with a new formation, with a couple new players being shifted into a couple of new spots. And Jay's out there running his head off. And Miggy and Saba's back on his right side. You know he prefers that. And you are absolutely in control of this thing. You find the goal. And for another 8-10 minutes after that, you get what you want. But then it all turns. And it's just – it's so tough now for Ronnie Dyla to ask the question of, did we get what we wanted out of this new formation? And, you know, you start to look at – it worked for 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe, and then it went away. Is it always going to go away? Is it something we'd be better off shifting to for a stretch of 20 minutes in-game? I mean, these are the decisions that make it so difficult for a manager when the team is looking for something, struggling, and they don't really know themselves. They don't really have their own identity yet, and I think it's a fair question to ask. Is this something you stick with? Did you see what you wanted out of it? It's just such a tough answer because it was 20, 25, 30 minutes, and then it wasn't, and you got to gauge why it fell apart at minute 30.
And you got to gauge why you weren't able to get it back. Yeah, Nashville's going to push because they're trying to get a goal, and Nashville has a very gritty persona about them. They have for a long time. They were traditionally more defensive, and BJ Callahan's come in and put more of the we can play with the ball into what they do. But the fact that you ceded possession and you weren't able to really turn the engine back over and get back in control of the game is the part that's really frustrating to me. Because, yeah, Nashville's pushing. They've got the ball. It felt like for the most of the first half, even when they had the ball, you weren't giving up anything crazy. We were talking about XG at halftime that, you know, they had a higher XG, but they had not put a shot on goal. They had, I think, two shots.
Yeah.
And both of them were just kind of lunging headers that looped over the crossbar. Weren't a big deal, but you got to find a way when you don't have control of the match to get it back, because teams aren't going to let you just take control. They're not going to sit back. You're not going to go. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to go to Chicago against the Fighting Greg Berhalters and just control the match without getting a fight. So when you get punched, when they try and punch back, how do you respond? How do you go snatch control of the match and try and get your foot back on the ball and string together three or four passes, even if that means taking a breath, playing it back to a center back, playing a couple passes, getting control, getting everything organized and feeling comfortable again, and just stopping the avalanche that is just unfurling upon you.
Atlanta and Nashville unified squads right now, 21 minutes in. They are still scoreless. If you want to catch the broadcast of that action, atlutd.com/live in the studio right next to us. You got Jason Longshore and Madison Cruz
some
on
really
the call.
Really good touches in this game, too.
Yeah, some nice stuff. They could have outperformed us at the media match yesterday, no doubt about that.
They'd have called that at halftime.
Yeah.
That'd have been slaughter rule.
Well,
we'd have gotten
You can watch the remainder of this unified game, atlutd.com/live. We've got a couple of more comments to make about this game. I want to spotlight one player that we haven't really talked about, Jarrett, that I thought was very strong in today's performance, and one player that disappeared a little bit too much for me. We'll see in the break if you can guess who I'm talking about, and then we'll make it public on the other side. He is Jarrett Smith. I am Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues. We'll also get you set for what's coming next week. Another daytime affair, this one in Chicago. A lot still to cover on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple of moments as we wrap up the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Jarrett Smith. And, Jarrett, I wanted to talk about two specific players here. Do you want to start with the high five and handshake, or should we start with the go sit back down now performance?
You know what? Given the last few weeks, let's start with the sit back down and end on something a little better.
Okay. I didn't see enough or feel any danger out of Alexi Maranchuk today. And I know he was situated a little bit further back, and I want you to speak about this. Maybe it was because he felt more of a responsibility to make sure he was there defensively. But for a guy that a couple of weeks ago was called a maestro, did not get involved in the attack anywhere near enough for me today.
Well, he didn't. I think you wanted more from him. I also had a couple giveaways that were dangerous deep in your own half that you can't have. But ideally, that's the look. And that was the disappointment, I think, for me. Despite the fact that you played well for 25 minutes, mm-hmm. that's the look I wanted, which is Miguel playing as kind of a second striker and being able to make the runs he made and let Maranchuk pick the ball out and pick out the dangerous passes that he's shown he can pick out. But, yeah, there wasn't that game-breaking ball that you needed from him.
And then on the other side, I thought Luis Abram did very well today. We saw a huge play by Derek Williams also to break up a sliding tackle in the box. But I thought Luis Abram, for the entirety of this affair, was very strong as a center back. And look forward to him. Obviously, we certainly hope that Steon Gregerson gets back soon. Yeah. But Luis Abram is on some real fine form right now.
So facing Nashville is a really tricky proposition because we talked about this during the break, Abe. Sam Surridge was kept pretty quiet.
I mentioned that to you. I was like, man, for a team that had Mukhtar.
And had scored four goals last week.
And he was invisible today.
Your size dealt with him really well, but it's not just the size they present as a problem. That team also has Jacob Schaffelberg, who is one of the fastest wingers in the league. You know, when you get to talk about somebody on a dead sprint causing you problems, Jacob Schaffelberg, when this was a purely counter team, was just so lethal. So you have to balance out being big and fast. And I thought I was a little nervous about when the lineup came out because, you know, asking Derek Williams to get possibly in some foot races with Jacob Schaffelberg is a risky thing, but was happy with the way they handled it for the most part. Again, you didn't give up an open play goal. Some of that is Brad Guzan making big saves.
Yeah.
The set piece that they score in the corner, it's well worked, where Lovitz can just kind of flick it to the back post. But I was happy with what we saw from them, and it's been a rotating door at center back. For me, Abe, it has been a, hey, center back's open for anyone who wants to go claim a spot.
No doubt about it. Quick look at the MLS scoreboard right now. One game is in action. It is New England at Toronto FC. Carlos Heel with a golazo in the 11th minute. Luis Campagna added in the 27th minute. New England on the road in Canada is up 2-0. And a game that we're going to be keeping our eye on later tonight at Soldier Field, Orlando City at the Chicago Fire. This is, of course, the Chicago Fire team that you are going to be playing at Soldier Field in a week's time. Jarrett, what can you tell us about Chicago and what they've been up to so far this season? I know they're not at the bottom of the table, but they're not exactly climbing towards the top. They're relatively close to where you are.
So Chicago is kind of a rebuilding project. They have been for years. This is a team that went and got Greg Berhalter when he left the U.S. national team. And Greg Berhalter has a good history, despite I think everybody being mad still about the U.S. national team stint. He did good work with Columbus before he took over the national team. And it's a rebuilding project in Chicago. They've taken some big swings on guys, and they've missed. I think the last time Chicago was really fun and exciting to watch was 2017 when they won the Shield, when I think it was Nemanja Nikolic won the Golden Boot with like 20 goals in the season. It's a rebuilding project there. You saw them lose 7-2 to Nashville last week, but they're trying to change not just the way they play but the culture up there in Chicago, and they're going to have some ups and downs, and if you're not careful, you will be one of their ups.
It's the immovable object, unstoppable force. Maybe I got this too.
Movable.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is. That's what could be coming next week, though. Atlanta United does not have a win on the road. They are 0-3-1. But with tonight's result pending at home against Orlando City, Chicago does not have a win at home. They are 0-1-3 at home. So potentially we'll see what happens there for Atlanta United. Looks like we've gone to halftime with this unified match. It is scoreless still at halftime. That's going to do it for us here on the full-time report. I certainly implore you, go to atlutd.com/live. That will get you coverage of the second half of this unified game. Our good friends Jason Longshore, Matty Cruz, Joe Freihoffer, and John Nelson all participating on the broadcast. Unified squad is undefeated the last two seasons, looking to extend that here in the second half against Nashville.
And we got man of the people Jay Fortune out there too. He's everywhere.
He is. He's on the big scoreboard right now. All right, special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio, and to Jay Cook, our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz and Jarrett Smith of Soccer Down Here, I am Abe Gordon. Join us again at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 10th, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will travel to the Midwest to take on the Chicago Fire. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1 and Nashville 1. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.